Invite you tonight, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 tonight. And this morning in my weekly text message, I said we were going to be in Galatians tonight, and well, we're not in Galatians tonight. And I was just here this afternoon reading through some different things and came across something I believe will be a help and an encouragement to us. And, you know, the book of Isaiah, it's a very interesting book when you think about it. Isaiah, of course, one of the major prophets, he wrote in a time that could really be comparable to our time, in our day and age. He wrote during a time that was very dark. He wrote during a very discouraging time. He wrote during a very depressing time. But what's interesting about the book of Isaiah is that while he wrote during a very dark time, while he wrote during a very depressing time, while he wrote during a very discouraging time, you find that as you read through the book of Isaiah, you find that Isaiah himself is preeminently known as the prophet of redemption. That's who Isaiah is. In fact, Isaiah's name means the salvation of Jehovah. And so here you have this prophet, Isaiah, and he's writing in a very dark time. He's writing in this very depressing time. He's writing in this very discouraging time. And yet his purpose in writing the book of Isaiah is to reveal that salvation, both physically and spiritually, is of the Lord. And in the book of Isaiah, you find several very interesting things. You find that there is a main theme that runs throughout the book of Isaiah, one of which deals with seven everlasting themes throughout the book of Isaiah. For example, you have Isaiah talking about everlasting strength. You have Isaiah talking about everlasting judgment. You have Isaiah talking about everlasting joy, everlasting salvation, everlasting kindness, everlasting covenant, everlasting light. Now, of those seven topics that Isaiah deals with, again, dark time, depressing time, discouraging time, of those seven themes that Isaiah writes about, those seven topics that Isaiah writes about, you find that actually only one of them is on a theme or a topic that is discouraging. And that's the seven everlasting judgments. Otherwise, you find Isaiah, he's talking about strength, he's talking about salvation, he's talking about joy, he's talking about kindness, he's talking about the everlasting covenant, he's talking about light. But among all of those things, the overarching theme of Isaiah is that of salvation. And throughout the book of Isaiah, you find he talks, again, in several ways about salvation. You have him talking about the wells of salvation, the joys of salvation, the walls of salvation, the everlasting salvation, the day of salvation, the feet of the heralds of salvation, the spread of salvation, the arm of salvation, the helmet of salvation for Isaiah. Even though he was in a very dark and depressing and discouraging time, he could not help but speak of the salvation of the Lord. He could not help but speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it got me to thinking, in our How to Study the Bible series, we said that the ultimate theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is who? Is Jesus. And I got to thinking that, like Isaiah, we too can sometimes feel as if we're living in a very dark and discouraging and depressing time. And what better person to talk about, especially in church in the middle of the week, than that of Jesus? And that's who I want us to talk about tonight. That's who I want us to focus on tonight, and that is Jesus. So look there, if you would, Isaiah chapter 32. And we'll look there beginning at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 32, beginning there at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. In the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken." Of those three verses, the one I want us to focus in on is verse number 2. "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Here we have, and for a few moments, the title of the message tonight is just simply "A Living Refuge." A living refuge. But here in Isaiah chapter 32, we have Isaiah presenting to us the Lord Jesus Christ as our divine protection. We have him presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the living water. We have him presenting to us the Lord Jesus Christ as God, as the rock, or as a rock. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 6 tonight. Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. Luke chapter 6 and verse 48, the Bible says, "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You know, this has nothing really to do, or at least this thought has nothing to do with the overall message tonight, but it's a good question to ask ourselves as we think about this man that Isaiah talks about. And that is, exactly what is your house built upon tonight? What is your life built upon tonight? Is it built upon the rock? Is it built on a firm foundation? Is it built on that sand which can withstand the storms of life? Or when the storms of life come, will your house crumble? Will your life crumble? And I hope tonight that each of us can say that our lives are built on the rock, that they are built on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what Isaiah is talking about here in Isaiah 32, this divine protection, this living water, this idea of God being this rock that is just simply unmovable. But you notice there, he says in verse number 2, "And a man shall be, and a man shall be. This, of course, this man that Isaiah is talking about is Christ the King. And I want to give you several thoughts here from the book of Isaiah tonight of just what this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is capable of. Number one tonight, we see that this man saves. This man saves. You notice what it says there in verse number two. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. We see Isaiah compares the Lord Jesus Christ to a hiding place. That when the storms come and when the wind comes and when all these things of life come and they beat against you, where can you go for salvation, physically speaking? Well, you can find that salvation. You can find that security. You can find that place in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man that saves. But not only can you, thinking about physically tonight, and not only thinking about in that aspect, but spiritually tonight, there has ever been only one man that is capable of saving our souls, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says there, He hides from the wind of temptation and the tempest of wrath. The Bible tells your life is hid with Christ in God. Look, if you would, Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, just before the book of Malachi, just before your New Testament there. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. And notice there, if you would, verse number 7. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And notice the phrase, "And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God." And so here we have Christ pictured as the shepherd. We have this picture of there being a remnant of a spiritual refining that is going to take place of us having to go through the fire of afflictions and of our life being tested. But then we see the power of prayer and the power of prayerfulness. And the answer that is promised to those of us that pray and call upon the name of the Lord here in especially verse number 9. You notice there that it says, "But I will bring through the fire." You know, tonight you may be going through something, but you have an assurance from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring you through that. That you say, "Where do I find that salvation?" Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, if we only but turn to Him. Notice, turn there if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice there, if you would, verse 17. Let's begin verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know what that teaches us this morning or this evening? That teaches us, and I'm going to use Joe as an example. That means Joe can go and he can get attacked by a cow. And his outward man might feel like garbage. Exactly, right? He might feel like, you know, there's pain radiating up and down throughout his body. And he might feel like, man, I just want a new body right about now. But then we have, and my Bible has a note here, the blessings of affliction. So you know what? It was a blessing for you to get attacked by that cow. That's what the scripture says. That our afflictions are a blessing. But George got a kick out of that. But yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So yes, even though we have a morality about us and a humanity about us and a spirit of humanity, we see that there can even, in the midst of the afflictions, and for more context sake, this is talking about maybe more so our trials and our tribulations and things like that. I realize that. But even when we go through those things, the inward man, if we stay close to Christ, if we stay in His Word, that inward man can be renewed day by day. Why? Verse 17. For our light affliction. And I love how God refers to those trials and those tribulations and those things that we go through, because in the moment we're going through them, they don't seem light. They don't seem like they're no big deal, because to us in that time, they are a big deal. But to God, they're not that big of a deal. To God, they're light. And for our light affliction, notice what it says, which is but for a moment. You know, I once heard of Mark Lauer. Anyone ever hear of Mark Lauer? He's a Christian comedian, singer, all of that. And he once said this. He said, "This too shall pass." Now, he got that from the Bible. "This too shall pass." But he added to that. He said, "Either this will pass or you will pass. Either way, it will pass," is the point of what he was trying to get through. But that's what the Bible is saying here. Which is but for a moment. Those trials, they're going to pass. Those tribulations, they're going to pass. Those afflictions, they're going to pass. They're going to be done away with. But notice what they do. Worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what that teaches us tonight? Is that we need to stop having an earthly vision and looking at things from an earthly standpoint, and start looking at things with a spiritual vision. Start looking at things with a heavenly vision, because those things which we see, those trials, those tribulations, those heartaches, those sorrows, those afflictions, all those things we go through in life, they are temporary. But those things we can't see, heaven, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we will see them. And those things will not be temporal, but those things will be eternal. Those things will be forever. And so we see here that, yes, we have to go through those afflictions. but he saves us from those afflictions. Look, if you would, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament there. Malachi chapter 3. And notice there, verse number 3. Malachi 3:3, the Bible says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." We see here again, there will be testings of life, but they're for the purpose of giving to us a spiritual refining. And then you notice back there in Zechariah, he says, "They shall call on my name." That is the thought of being a Christian that is serious in our prayer life. And then we see the promise to those that pray. Look, if you would, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 tonight. Luke chapter 11. And verse number 9. Luke chapter 11, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And now listen, sometimes we use that verse and these verses to say, okay, well, whatever we pray for, God's going to answer that prayer. And well, that's not what the verse is teaching. The verse is just simply teaching us that if we pray, He will give us an answer to those prayers. Now, sometimes those answers aren't the answers we want, but I'm thankful tonight He knows the answer we need, even sometimes when we don't necessarily agree with the answer He gives. But ultimately, He knows the answer that we need. But we see tonight this man back there in Isaiah, this man that Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah chapter number 32. This man saves. But then secondly tonight, we see not only does this man save, but we see that this man satisfies. This man satisfies. You notice there, he saves. "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest." But then notice the second part of the verse. "As rivers of water in a dry place." As rivers of water in a dry place. Have you ever been so thirsty that it doesn't seem like no matter how much water you drink, that you just can't get enough water? That you can just maybe down like as many bottles of water as you can possibly get your hands on and still never satisfy your thirst? Well, here we have a Savior that can satisfy. And, you know, it's very interesting because the water of life cannot be found in man-made wells. And right now I'm working on a message, and it might be for Sunday morning, I'm not sure yet. But go over to Philippians. And I'm still developing the thought, so if it comes off a little rough around the edges, that's why. But Philippians is another interesting book. Does anyone off the top of their head remember where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians? Anybody remember where Paul was when he wrote the book of Philippians? Prison. Yeah. Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. Does anyone remember the theme, the central theme of the book of Philippians?
He's thanking them.
But I'm talking about the overall book of Philippians. Encouragement, rejoice, joy. Now, I want you to think about that. He's in prison, but yet the theme is joy. How many of you would be joyous in prison? Yeah, of course you would. You'd be away from the cows. And but you know, we, and this is the thought I'm working on, and that is, we don't have much joy in our day-to-day, do we? We don't have much joy. Now, we have a lot of happiness in our day. But happiness isn't joy, because happiness depends upon happenings. For example, I have a lot of money, I'm happy. I have a lot of food, I'm happy. I got a promotion, I'm happy. It didn't rain today, it's sunny, I'm happy. You know, you fill in the blank, and it makes you happy. But let's say you don't have a lot of money. Well, then all of a sudden you don't become happy. Or something doesn't go your way. Then you're not happy. It's not sunny out, or it's raining, or you get caught in the rain. Well, then you're not happy. And so happiness depends upon happenings. But joy does not depend upon happiness. I want to show you this. Philippians, notice there if you would. And I don't have it written down, so bear with me here. Well, somewhere here in Philippians, the verse says, "Work out your own salvation." Now, there will be those that use that verse, "Work out your salvation," to teach that, well, that teaches we have to work for our salvation. Well, no. If that was the case, then it would say work for. No, it says work out your salvation. And one of the commentaries that I use, he uses the wonderful illustration of what that actually means. And he uses the illustration of a miner going into a gold mine to dig for gold. And that's what the verse is referring to. Work out your own salvation. So,
Philippians 2:2.
Philippians 2:2.
Our
2:12. Okay, let's look there. Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So we're going to cover all of those verses in that particular message, but work out your own salvation. So now you think, here's this poor miner, right? And he sees this mine, but he can't buy the mine. So someone comes along, he buys the mine for the miner, and then the miner thinks, wow, man, now I'm rich. But what does he have to do? He has to go into the mine and dig and get the gold out. And so when we see this verse here, work out your own salvation, you and I, before salvation, we were that poor miner. And we were on the outside looking at the mine filled with gold, but there was no way we could afford the mine. But then somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he died on the cross for us, and he bought the mine for us. And so now it is our job, our responsibility, to now enter into the mine and dig for the gold. Work out your own salvation. So you're digging for the gold, right? Now, you take the shovel, you dig for the gold, and you bring up a whole scoop of dirt. Well, you know there's gold in that dirt, so what do you do with the dirt? You toss the dirt and you keep the gold. Here's the problem. Too often, as Christians, we find ourselves keeping the dirt of this world, and we're missing out on the gold. We're missing out on the blessings of God. And when we think about this morning of this man that satisfies, too often what we do is that we are in the man-made wells of the world, in the waters of the world that will never satisfy, and the living water, the water of life, who will satisfy, we just keep at a distance. We just keep at arm's length. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, but if you'll just drink of me, I will satisfy every need you have in life. I will satisfy every need that you have. Every need can be met by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, Psalm 87. Psalm 87. Psalm 87. And notice there, verse number 7. Psalm 87, verse 7, the Bible says, as well, the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. And notice what it says, talking about the fountain of life and living water, all my springs are in thee. All my springs, the fountains of life, the living water, it's found in him and him alone. And so we see this morning, or this evening, this man that Isaiah is talking about. He's a man that saves. He's a man that satisfies. And then thirdly and finally this evening, we see he's this man shelters. This man shelters. Look back there, Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. So we see first this man saves, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. He saves. This man satisfies as rivers of water in a dry place. And then thirdly and finally, this man shelters as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, at times the way may seem weary. At times the way may seem rough. At times the way may seem long. At times the way may seem lonely. But in those times, we have a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shelters us from the way. Look, if you would, Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. And notice there, verse number 12. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says, Lord, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And then finally, final portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So again, we see not only the living water, but Christ as the rock. So I want to encourage us tonight that when the way does get weary, when the way does get long and lonely and rough, there is shelter that can be found in the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see tonight this living refuge. This man saves, he satisfies, he shelters. We sang the two songs tonight, Jesus, what a friend for sinners, a shelter in the time of storm. That's who our Jesus is. That's who our Savior is. And whatever your need tonight, whether it's this week, this month, this year, whatever it is, if you'll trust in Him, if you'll give it to Him, if you'll just lay it at His feet, He will meet that need. First and foremost, the salvation that we have in Him. If you're here tonight, you're saved. Think of what that took to save us. And if He was able and capable to save us, which He was, then why do we think anything that comes after salvation is too hard for Him? If He was able to save you, then anything else after that is just icing on the cake. Nothing after salvation would be too hard for Him. By the way, salvation wasn't that hard for Him either. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for, as Isaiah puts it, this man. And so do you know this man tonight? I hope you know him. And I hope tonight that when you do find yourself afflicted and when you do find yourself in the trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrows of life, that you just rely upon this man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's capable of whatever it is our needs may be. And so, you know, it does us good every once in a while to sometimes just focus on Jesus. And sometimes we need that. Because this world, it can get you so sideways. It can get you so busy and so out of sorts that you take your eyes off of Jesus. And sometimes we just need that focus back. And, you know, maybe you find yourself like that from time to time, busy, and, you know, you're not focusing on Jesus or the things of God as much as you should. Those are the times we need to the most. And so let's try and do that from time to time. Just every now and again, just focus on Jesus and remember who he is to us as Christians. Let's pray.